There is so much information, misinformation out there regarding the COVID-19 virus. How do we separate fact from fiction?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. Hope that you had a blessed weekend, those that were doing online church fellowships, those that were getting some Sabbath rest, those who are counting the minutes for the lockdown, the shutdown to end. Hope you had a good weekend. So glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. We got a lot of really interesting stuff to talk about today. Love to get your input, feedback as well. 866-348-7884 with any questions you have of any kind. We'll get to some calls on even some random subjects today, hopefully as well. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, I just got in the mail from American Airlines my million miler status. I got million miler status many years ago on Delta, and now million miler on American. I guess I'm working towards 2 million on Delta and then miles on all kinds of other airlines. So I spent a lot of time in the air and got a lot of good work, a lot of good writing done in the air, and even had some good times meeting with the Lord in flight, then just some rest time as well. But I've never had a sabbatical since I started preaching and ministering decades ago. Never had a sabbatical, meaning an extended time, you know, of months off from ministry work and just to stop and reflect and pray and renew and refresh. But and I've never felt a need for it. I've slowed down at different times and taken some, very, very short breaks at different times and then had some great family vacation and things like that. But I haven't had in my life, more significantly, regular Sabbath rest because of weekend ministry. In other words, because I'm called to preach and teach, that often happens on the weekends. And with the daily routine of radio, or if I was teaching daily at a school, whatever that setting might be, then it might be that I'd go through the week, Monday through Friday, doing radio, and then get on a plane on a Friday night to fly out somewhere, and then speak all day Saturday, Sunday, and then fly back Sunday night or fly back Monday morning in time for radio. So I do my best to incorporate rest into my schedule and to be renewed and have time with God. But that's been something that has been lacking because of ministry. Like the priests in the temple would perform their functions on the Sabbath, right? And they weren't considered working because it was priestly work. It was temple work. The same thing with the ministry of the word. You know, for someone, say a pastor preaching four times on a Sunday, or a worship team leading worship four times on a Sunday, that's not exactly their Sabbath rest either. I remember a friend of mine who led a Messianic congregation, and they'd have their full morning service and then afternoon fellowship. He said, Sabbath for me ends up being Sunday, and I'm a Messianic Jew. And he was laughing about it. But what's happened now with the shutdown is I'm just having a lot more time to get with God and to get renewed and get refreshed and determined by God's grace to make sure that is an ongoing part of my schedule. So I know it's been difficult and challenging for many, but in the midst of it, it can be a godsend for me. In many ways, it has been. And thank you for your prayer support and words of encouragement. We are here for you. All right. How do we sort out fact versus fiction when it comes to COVID-19? How do we sort out what is propaganda from the media or the government? What is hysterical reporting, sensationalism? What is true? What is accurate? How do we sort this out? The lockdowns, have they been necessary? Have they been ill-advised? Were there better ways to do things? Is it government inefficiency? Does someone have an agenda? Is the virus as bad as people say? Is it overblown? And look, unless you have insider information and expertise in all the matters, it's really hard to sort these things out. Dr. Everett Piper retired university chancellor and a highly respected conservative thinker, tweeted something out that got my attention a couple days ago. And he said, I posted a COVID-19 article yesterday, meaning April 24th, and said it was most important article of the day. Now, this is April 25th. This one is the most important article of the year, all in caps, and this is from a respected Christian thinker. Must read, must share, must follow this advice. And it's linked to an article, Coronavirus Truths. Coronavirus Truths. Let's start to read through this article and see why Dr. Piper was so excited about it. And then I want to raise my own questions because I am not a medical expert. I am not an economic expert, and I don't have inside information. So I'm just going to be practical and raise questions for further understanding. The primary author is David Williams, medical doctor. And the article revised April 23rd with updates to section regarding COVID-19 deaths and the addendum. And he says, this is being written on April 19th, 2020. Although there is a central author, it is being written on behalf of multiple physicians in West Alabama and will be distributed through multiple medical offices. Between us, we have well over 100 years of practice and have treated hundreds of thousands of patients suffering infectious diseases. Including missions trips, we have treated patients on 5 continents. All right, so they got me there. Oh, I've been on missions trips around the world, the ministry around the world, but I haven't treated any patients, let alone hundreds of thousands, okay? Let alone people on different continents. So they got me there. First, and they said, we planned the stage for several reasons. First, most of our patients now realize there is something funny about the coverage and handling of this disease. Secondly, if it wasn't being handled differently by April 19th, we knew it would take action from us and our patients to change that handling. Finally, we were told in March by our state officials that experts predicted New York, Florida, Texas, and Alabama were projected to have the median most fatalities from the COVID-19 outbreak, with the peak in Alabama expected to be April 19th. On this date, Alabama was supposed to be on pace for 5,516 deaths and to be short over 21,000 hospital beds. The information just listed, every piece of information discussed below can be verified with a quick internet search. Many of the sources will be directly referenced. So they're saying, okay, this is what was supposed to happen. These were the scenarios. So where are we now? All right. So they have truths and lies from their perspective that they post, Dr. Williams and his colleagues. Truth. COVID-19 is an actual medical disease that will lead to tragic deaths. Okay, so they're verifying that. That's true. They're not denying that. It's real. Lie. We don't know much about coronavirus. And he says this is one of the media's favorite lies, because if we don't know about something, it's scarier. You know, so the media is going to scare us with this. And obviously, the more sensationalist and the more people are watching the newscast or listening or reading. And he says, you know, we know the nature of coronaviruses. Okay. And we've done them, studies on them, for years. This is a new one, a novel one, but we know about coronaviruses. Then he says another lie. COVID-19 is more infectious than influenza. So they claim that that is a lie. Now, again, I have no medical expertise, and these doctors combined have over 100 years of medical expertise. Yet I do have questions. I'm just putting this out. So they're saying it is a lie. It is a lie that COVID-19 is more deadly than the average flu. Okay? It is a lie that COVID-19 is more dangerous than influenza. And they give statistics that they feel back this up. Another lie. The fact one doesn't know he or she has COVID-19 makes it more dangerous. He said, well, actually, all viruses shed and are primarily spread while the infected host is asymptomatic. So he's saying this is no different than any other virus, that you don't know you have it, and you spread it to others before you realize you have it. He says, truth, COVID-19 is more dangerous to the elderly and immunocompromised. Another truth, that doesn't really mean anything in and of itself, because everything is more dangerous to those unfortunate individuals. Truth, again, this is according to Dr. Williams and his colleagues. It is now almost impossible for anyone in the general public or general medical community to know the actual number of deaths from COVID-19. Therefore, we should be suspicious a lot of the statistics that are given out as if it's, you know, precise and accurate. You can watch the numbers on your screen. And then they revised the statement April 23rd to say this is actually much worse than we thought. According to Worldometer's info from January 1st to April 1st, 2020, the worldwide deaths from COVID-19 were 46,438 as opposed to 121,993 for influenza. So in other words, that just the general flu has killed far more than COVID-19 in the first 3 months of this year. Okay, let's keep scrolling down. Their question being, you know, why these extreme measures for a virus that's killed so few, comparatively speaking, although every death is a tragedy. Truth, the current policies instituted by our local, state, national governments are causing greater health problems than the virus ever will. So they're saying all the unemployment and everything that comes out of that, and be it suicide, depression, other things that come in, lack of health care with people unemployed, whatever it is that's going to hurt more people than the virus. Truth. The media as a whole has grossly misrepresented this disease. Now, they didn't put in the word deliberately, but they say no question they've misrepresented it. Now, in opinion, the way in which the media has pushed fear nonstop amounts to psychological warfare against this country. Truth, they say, the media will continue to fight reopening of this country by stating experts predict a spike in deaths if we do so. Truth. That every country has shut down their economy, and none of those countries have suffered higher rates of death because they have kept their economy going. Opinion, medical organizations have failed this country. Truth, China is involved, but not how you think. Truth, the NBA canceled their season voluntarily with no external domestic pressures, and China is a huge market for them. Truth. People are lazy or they have an agenda. Truth, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is making a fortune and he wants you to stay home. Truth, COVID-19 has been treated like a world ender. It's not even remotely close. Truth, quarantine is a period or place in isolation in which people who have been exposed or infected with a contagious disease are placed. Truth, this is not a medical crisis but a political crisis. Truth, the Alabama coronavirus numbers presented in the opening paragraph appear to be way off. Truth, if you love your children, enjoy sports, and are anyone who owns or is employed by a small business, you should be angry. Truth, nothing will change unless it is demanded. What do you think? What do we make of that? We'll be right back.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, delighted to be here with you. I just saw a tweet earlier today. Someone had commented on one of my articles and said, thank you for being a voice of reason in the midst of the storm. And I thought, you know, that really sums it up. That's what we're seeking to be, not take a political position, not just entertain you, not try to get people watching our videos or listening to our broadcasts, but rather doing our best to provide you with solid truth and to not get caught up in the storm of opinion that's out there and the swirling storms of controversy. And again, when you have leading doctors, leading researchers, educated and qualified professors, and down the list, and they will have polar opposite positions. And then this news account says one thing, and this seems to say the opposite. How do you sort that out? I know sometimes we can see who wins or loses a debate, right? That's self-evident in many, many ways. And you could just watch, you know, polls, just people from all backgrounds with varied opinions. If they overwhelmingly say, yeah, this one had the better arguments, that, you know, that tells you something. But here, I'm a layman when it comes to medical science. I'm a layman when it comes to economics and public policies in terms of what's best. The one thing I don't believe is that President Trump is working to destroy the economy of America. That I don't believe, and that makes no sense whatsoever, all right? Or that he's just being duped by nefarious advisors because he's got enough people coming from enough angles raising enough issues. I don't mean his decisions are perfect, and I think the more that he lets other experts speak and maybe the less speaking he's doing on the virus, the better it'll turn out. He's obviously put his foot in his mouth a few times recently, and that's been unhelpful. But how do you sort it out? So I pray for discernment. Hey, that's great. That's excellent. We should all pray for discernment. But come on, realistically, when you have two experts whose expertise is such that you don't even know the vocabulary they're using, how are you going to sort out the arguments? So I don't doubt for a split second that the media is going to sensationalize things. That's what the media does. I don't question that for a second. So you've got to kind of tone it down and work that through. And I don't doubt, as I said many, many times, that people have their agendas and that someone working with big pharmaceutical companies has one perspective and someone that's friendly with China has another perspective and someone that is you know, looking for the small business person, they have another perspective. And it could well be that some of our reaction was unwise. It could well be that we came late to the party in certain things. There are all kinds of different possibilities there, and I'm open to that, all right? But just when it comes to how dangerous this virus is and how bad it is and how deadly it is, I just want to put some questions out. In fact, I'd love your feedback, all right, to everyone listening and watching that has the ability to call in live now or to post on YouTube or Facebook. I have a question for you. In your own circle of friends and friends of friends, so not just a social media contact, but your own circle, people that you're close to, you know, family, friends, and that immediate circle, so you'd be interacting about those people. Are you hearing of more people being seriously afflicted with COVID-19 and even dying than you do during the normal flu season? Simple question, 866-34-TRUTH. Are you encountering more sickness, more death with COVID-19, despite all our measures of protection, than you normally would during the flu season? I'm just wondering what your experience is, because I know what my experience is, which I'll get to in a moment. So I want to take a few calls, and then I want to get to the questions that I printed in my article, which you can read on the stream, stream.org, you can read my article about separating fact from fiction, some honest questions about the danger and extent of COVID-19. So that's exclusively up on the stream today, stream.org. You can read that. I'll get to the questions I raised, and I want to play a clip from Bill Gates and interact with that as well about China. I want to interact with that as well in a moment. But first, let's go to the phones. Let me get your feedback, your input, and then we'll get to the questions I raised. All right, we start with Jonathan in Utah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
Yeah, with your question, I mean, I would say no. I have an experience. I drive around here in Utah, and I deliver propane, and it's been considered an essential, you know, thing. You know, that everyone needs it and everything, and I get that. But all the people that I've met or speak to or see, you know, nobody. I don't know anybody that even has COVID-19. I haven't met anyone. I haven't heard anyone, even from my church and our pastor. They haven't spoken of anyone that has it. And
you know, what's interesting is I'm just looking at posts on Facebook one after another coming in about people. Yeah, I know people sick, people who've died of this. Interesting. But again, that's what I'm asking for your yeah, I'm experiencing in my circle more sickness and death than ever. Two tested positive, two live with modest health, still alive. Knowing of sick, two pastors have died. So that's interesting. So again, you're giving me your information as well. But I appreciate that. Was there anything else you wanted to comment on in terms of the article?
Well, I was just hoping to get a link or how I could be able to get to that article so I could read it fully,
yeah.
And you know.
So, Jonathan, go to stream.org, and you'll see my article on the homepage. All right, some honest questions about COVID-19, and right at the beginning of the article, I link to it. All right? So what I'd recommend, and I excerpt it, I summarize key points, but it's a 5,000-word article, so I link to it, so that's how you can read it. Thank you for calling, Jonathan. Let's go to Troy in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, sir, good. I got some information that goes along with what you're saying. It may be the same guys, I'm not sure, but on YouTube, there's a Dr. Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. It's COVID-19 briefing. It's on YouTube. These guys have the data in. These guys are qualified doctors. They've got the data in. The data shows that this is, they tested the hard areas hit, like New York State, Spain, and other areas. They say that this thing is no more than a flu, and the death rates compared to the infection rates are less than the common flu. So there's the data. They've done a great job presenting this. Everybody needs to look this up.
I've seen this referenced a lot, and I'm just looking now on YouTube. Just easy to type in. Thank you for spelling the name for us, Dr. Erickson, and COVID-19 briefing, April 22nd, 2020, has almost 5 million views. So thank you, Troy, for that reference. Again, I do not have the expertise to weigh in. I do not. That's why I'm asking questions. And my questions are really simple, layman-like questions, as you'll see in a minute. Hey, Troy, thank you for that reference and drawing our attention to it. Much appreciated. We go to Eva, somewhere on the road. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you, sir? My name is Eva.
Yeah, are you on the road in a state somewhere, or have you just like taken
yes,
off
sir.
Into a... Okay, all right,
I'm
somewhere on the road.
I'm driving through Winston-Salem, so yes, sir, I'm driving through. I'm going toward Virginia.
Okay, great. Yes, so what's your own experience with this situation versus normal flu season?
Okay, so what I have personally experienced that I've had two family members that have passed away from COVID. They were both...
Really?
Yes, sir. They were both a little older in age. Both were men, and both were of African-American descent. So,
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Let me ask this, Eva. Do you remember each year, you know, we have flu season each year. Is
yes,
this something common that you always lose a friend or two during this time of the year, or does this seem different and exceptional?
This has actually been different. I have had some family members that were older that passed away in earlier years, but for them both to have passed away, and they were actually healthier before the COVID happened, that's what kind of alarmed me. I've seen that a lot of people of African-American descent have been hit with it. So I'm not sure if it's something that, you know, maybe it's in our chemistry. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the understanding would be that there has been there are a couple of factors. One would be a historic lack of medical care for the African-American community compared to others. And then underlying health conditions, other aspects where there'd be lack of health because of which they'd be more vulnerable. So these are other big questions to look at on the other side of this. But Eva, thanks for calling in and sorry to hear about your loss. I'm looking at many who are posting and saying, yeah, I don't know anyone, don't know any at all. Another saying, I've had 5 family members that have passed in the past 3 months, I'm assuming from COVID-19. So tell you what, I'm going to come back with my own questions to ask, all right? And then I want to get your input. So I've got a couple of phone lines open if you want to call in and share your own experience or your response to this article. Again, I'm simply sitting here with all of you as your voice trying to sort these things through. We know there's fear out there, sensationalism. We also know there's wisdom in the midst of it. Let's find that wisdom.
Change the world. fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. What has been your personal experience, your family, circle of immediate friends, and their friends? Are you seeing more sickness, perhaps even more death, during this season with COVID-19? As opposed to the normal flu season? Or does it seem that things are just being highly exaggerated in terms of danger, contagion, etc.? Just asking for your own experience. We're not trying to make medical pronouncements now. I do believe as much as possible we should follow safety guidelines, if only to show love for our neighbor and to say that we do care, but where we really believe that the government is pushing back unfairly, or where more damage is being done to people because of policies, then, with respect for authority, we raise our voices in protest, calling for change. And in certain cases, we have the federal government working with us, like Attorney General Barr, when there has been discrimination or unfair treatment of churches. The Department of Justice has pushed back. 866-34-TRUTH. Couple things quick. And then we'll share the questions I've raised and get to your calls. I want to try to get to every one of your calls. So I don't have a mask, all right, to wear in public. And again, I'm healthy by God's grace, 65, but healthy, strong immune system. I'm not worried. I don't go out worried about contracting the disease, but just following safety guidelines, being wise and being honoring. But I thought, you know, if I wear a mask, it shows others that I care. That's all. So I ordered one. I saw this thing on Amazon, you know, where it like came as a piece of fabric. It's like, oh, this is a mask? I ordered it. I sent it right back immediately. It's like that. Where? How do you put the thing on? If it was just a piece of fabric, just going to cut a piece of fabric. So not everything is a mask that claims to be a mask. But for me, it's just showing grace to others. That would be my main reason for doing it. Or saying, hey, if you think it's important, then I want to honor that. Just for the sake of others. You may have a different take on that, but that's okay. One other thing, if you haven't yet ordered my new book, When the World Stops, Words of Hope, Faith, and Wisdom in the Midst of Crisis, friends, do it. If you're able to, trust me, you will be blessed. You can download it and start reading immediately on in your Kindle reader or on any device, cell phone, tablet, computer. When the World Stops, I believe you'll be strengthened as we start off with Fear Not and How to Feed Your Faith versus Fear. And then lay out chapter by chapter how we deal, not just with this situation, but similar situations, and how we apply the promises of Psalm 91, and where do we implement wisdom, and do we obey the government or not? I think you'll find it super timely. God laid it on my heart to write the book March 18th. It was published April 21st, if you can believe that. We're still waiting for the physical copies to come in and sign to those who ordered through our website. If you order on our website, you also get a full 12-hour class on spiritual warfare, absolutely free, a $20 value, as our thank you gift to you and our way of sowing back into you during these challenging times. And if you want to just get the ebook or order on Amazon, it's available there. Okay, before we go to your calls, here are the questions I raised in response to a 5,000-word article by a team of medical doctors with one primary author based in Alabama, challenging a lot of the conventional wisdom on COVID-19. So there are questions I raised because I don't know the answers, all right? So here are my questions, and you can read these all in my article that's up on stream.org today. If COVID-19 is no more deadly than normal influenza, why do so many of us know someone who died of COVID-19? I'm 65 years old now, and I can't remember the last friend or friend of a friend who died of the flu. But already among those who have passed away, I can personally count an old friend and grace to his family, a dear brother on Long Island, active 74-year-old who passed away over the weekend, a close friend of a friend, also very active in his early 60s, and two friends of two close friends, I believe in their 60s as well. In other words, in my immediate circle of friends and their friends in the last few weeks, four have died of COVID-19, whereas I can't remember anyone I know dying of the flu in many years or decades. So what does that imply? Again, an honest question. Another one. If COVID-19 is no more deadly or contagious than normal influenza, Why has it had such a devastating effect on the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities, especially in Israel? These communities deal with the flu every year, as do other communities, but the fatalities and serious complications from COVID-19 seem drastically different than during the normal flu season. Why is that? One ultra-Orthodox website features a COVID-19 live blog, COVID-19 Tehillim, names Tehillim means Psalms, so these are people that are getting prayed for every day, and a COVID-19 activity list. The website also features obituaries of victims, including rabbis in their 30s and 40s. Does this strike you as surprising? Again, just asking questions. A friend of mine in northern Italy shared some of the tragic stories coming from his part of the world, including firsthand accounts of a number of pastors who died of the disease. Here, too, the numbers seem disproportionately higher than during the normal flu season. Why is that? And why did countries other than America, including Israel, go to such extreme lengths to shut down their nations, knowing the terrible financial damage that would ensue? And why did Singapore, praised for its approach in the earlier weeks, have to go to much more extreme measures in recent days as the disease has skyrocketed among the migrant workers? And then a health care giver from the UK posed this on Facebook. If it's less infectious than flu and doesn't make the average under 60 persons sick, why have almost all the staff I work been off with it? Fortunately, the last of us is coming back to work now so we can get on with our jobs looking after the elderly. This disease has taken several of them despite our best efforts to keep it out. So again, just kind of on the ground here, I'm wondering why, where I can verify it, it's been more contagious and more deadly than the normal flu. I'm not saying all the actions taken are right. I'm not saying there hasn't been government overreach. I'm not saying the media is not engaging in fear-mongering. I'm not stating some people aren't in bed with Big Pharma. I'm not stating that some people don't have a world war agenda. I mean, all those things could be true. All I'm just asking is basic questions about the disease. That's just what I'm trying to do from my layman's level here. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Kevin in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Kevin, you sound like Jews for Jesus type Kevin.
Yeah, you know me. You know me.
Hey,
well.
Man. Yeah, so what's going on where you are, sir?
Oh, it's like a war zone over here. Ever since April turned around, guy Pastor Joel, who was on his board along with me when we brought you in, he passed away. And then
How old was he?
He was 70 years old. He was a vibrant guy who loved help, always strong. His name was Bishop Joseph Williams. Phenomenal man of God. Mm. Beautiful church and everything. You know, then after that, it was six people altogether that I know that have died. I know over 40 people who have gotten the disease. If you look at, and this is the thing that I kind of think that the government hasn't been speaking of. If you look at New York's death rate, you're talking roughly to 150 to 200 people dying a day. That's what they deal with on average.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the funeral homes with the refrigerated trucks. I have seen the hospitals with the refrigerated trucks. I have niece who works in the two nieces that work in the hospital. I have seen it. I've heard the one of the people that died. She called me up for comfort and stuff, and it was unbelievable. And she says, you know, where does Psalm 91 work with me? And stuff. Mm. And, you know, to hear these questions, it breaks your heart. Let me tell you something, Dr. Brown. I really believe in our heart of hearts that we as a church, we need to stop questioning about if this is right or that's right or anything. I think we need to get on our faces and repent simply.
Mm.
You know, just a simple repentance.
Yeah,
and
Kevin.
Saying, God, have mercy.
Yes, sir. I wholeheartedly, from the depths of my being, affirm that call and affirm that need. Let me ask you one other thing. What's happening in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities in Brooklyn from what you know?
Oh, it's terrible. At first, they would not, you know, like everybody else, they kind of assumed it was a flu. Well, then it didn't. And it's like, it's crazy now. And the rabbis are like screaming wildly, telling their people, you know, stay socially distant, stay socially distant. And it's really sad to hear the ambulances at night. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
To hear the ambulances, they have died down. They have died down a bit. I had a friend of mine. He just became an FDNY EMT. The director of the Bronx explained to him, you will go into a house and you will work on a patient that had just died. Once you leave, you'll come back to that house about eight hours later because that's your next case. 40% of all New Yorkers who have died have not died in a hospital. Mm. Think about that. That's mind blowing. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. When people say it's a hoax, I had a pastor who you actually even spoke at his church. He recorded a video of a refrigerator truck by a funeral home. People from Brooklyn were saying it's a hoax. I couldn't even believe that they were saying that.
Mm.
And I mean, you know what? It's men, their heart is almost like turned towards fables. I mean, this ain't a fable. This is reality. This is a reality, especially when you're dealing with what you're dealing with. And I wish it wasn't true. I wish it was Chicken Little and the sky is falling. But it's not.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for that sobering words. And let's just pray together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. And once again, we ask for mercy. And once again, we confess, Lord, that we have fallen short and we have sinned and we have been compromised and we have been complacent. We ask you, O God, to awaken your church and have mercy on this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, friends. Sobering call, a sobering call. I want to get back to hear more from you in a moment, but let's take this in. Let's take this in. You know, in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, on the one hand, there's the, like many evangelical Christians say, we'll come together, we'll believe God, we'll honor God, we're doing his work, he'll protect us. And then so much of Judaism is experienced communally. And then the very religious have large families and live in small quarters. It makes it a hotbed for the spread of the disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, it's for calls like we just got from Kevin. For calls like that, we do live radio. Oh, and for many other calls. But that's one reason I love live radio. We can hear from you. We can interact in real time. Others can hear from you. So thank you for contributing, being part of this broadcast. Some of you for a dozen years now. And for those just tuning in, maybe finding out about us over the break, thank you for joining us. Now, live radio is live video on YouTube and Facebook as well. I'm going to go back to your calls, but I promised I'd interact with a clip from Bill Gates. So Bill Gates is on CNN, and conservative columnist Ryan Saavedra plays this clip on his Twitter account, obviously not happy with what Bill Gates had to say. Let's take a listen.
There is right now in Washington a very different mood, which is to say, far from cooperating with the second largest economy in the world, it is China that is to blame for this virus. You've been following this very carefully. How would you respond to the charge that, look, the Chinese covered this up. They've essentially deceived the rest of the world. And as a result, they should be held in some way responsible for this.
Well, I don't think that's a timely thing because it doesn't affect how we act today. You know, China did a lot of things right you know, at the beginning, like any country where a virus first shows up, you know, they can look back and see where they missed some things. Some countries did respond very quickly and get their testing in place, and they avoided the incredible economic pain. And it's sad that even the U.S., that you would have expected to do this well, did it particularly poorly. But it's not time to talk about that. But this is the time to take the great science we have, the fact that we're in this together, fix testing, treatments, and get that vaccine, and, you know, minimize the trillions of dollars and many things that you can't even dimensionalize in economic terms that are awful about the situation that we're in. So that's a distraction. I think there's a lot of, you know, incorrect and unfair things said, but it's not even time for that.
All right. Number one, I find it interesting that Bill Gates said it's a distraction to point out what China allegedly did wrong, but then to mention in the midst of it what he believes America did wrong. He said, but we don't have time for that. Well, best to just leave that out then. But with all respect to whatever expertise Bill Gates would have on this and predicting a pandemic years ago, I think it's very, very important that we look into China here. I think it's very, very important and not a distraction at all. We can do what we need to do at the same time. We can do what we need to do with our research and our technology and sharing with people around the world. But I think it's very important to look into China carefully. To what degree is China responsible for the spread of this virus worldwide? There are world leaders together. There are government leaders together. There are legal authorities together wanting to hold China accountable and either saying you did not act responsibly, you withheld information, or you are still not reporting accurately, or this is actually manufactured intentionally or others, or leaked from a lab in China. I think this is important information to have. And then larger questions, how is China going to benefit from this? What is China going to do through its own population through it? What should we learn about trade with China, about being dependent on things from China in terms of medical supplies and things like that? So I see it as anything but a distraction. I see it as pragmatic, necessary, and important. Yes, let's ask all the big questions about America and what we could have done better. But by all means, let's ask serious questions about China in terms of involvement, in terms of what they did wrong, in terms of what may have been intentional, in terms of our trade dependence on them. Let's ask serious questions. Let's not be reactionary. Let's not come to false judgments based on misinformation or jumping out of the gate too quickly. Let's not demonize Chinese people generically, God forbid. But yes, let us hold the Chinese government accountable, at least to answer these serious questions, and then for us to reassess our relationship, our trade relationship with China. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nikki in Oregon. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you? Good to talk to you.
I just wanted to
answer your question about do I know anyone who has COVID in it? And I don't. We've got, you know, friends of friends who have had it, but no, in our community, and we're a small church. And
So no different than normal flu season in your own experience?
No, and we're on the West Coast, so we had people around Thanksgiving in the beginning of December who had symptoms, and they had coughs that lasted a long time, and one had like just kind of like a wicked, like a really wicked cough, but maybe it came in at that time, but no, we don't know anyone. I mean, the more prevalent virus is the fear. And
yep.
So,
understood.
You know, I just am so glad that, you know, I just get the reports. I just I don't watch the news. I just get the reports from the CDC, so I'm not inundated with that virus. And then
we have
the word of God to allow us to think. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the wisdom of not being inundated by the reporting on the news, because again, so much of it is biased and has political agendas on all sides, right and left. You know, we just have to be candid and do our best to be wise. And friends, if you don't have, when the world stops, if you haven't ordered it, trust me, if you're able to order it, I wrote it for you. I wish I could just press a button and download it into each of you. But get the book. There's a reason we start off with two chapters dealing with fear. There's a reason we have chapters both on faith and wisdom. There's a reason we talk about the end of the world and are we there yet? So I think you'll find it really helpful to build you up and strengthen you and help you to think and act biblically during this time. Let's go to, all right, we won't go there. Another caller who no one personally, doesn't know anyone personally with the virus. Let's go to Vancouver. Rob, yeah, another part of the world. What's your experience?
Oh, hi, Doc Brown.
Hey.
Yeah, first time caller. I don't know of anyone personally who died from this, but there was a I'm friends with someone who attended this huge conference, the North American conference for medical professionals, and a COVID case broke out there. I think it was with the host themselves had it. And I know someone who attended that, and apparently one of the top doctors who attended that died from it. A top doctor here in Vancouver. So that was like, 2 degrees separation.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
Again, sir, we can read stats, then we can analyze what we know in our own communities and then in our own circle of friends. And very painful news about a dear brother. We were good friends when I lived on Long Island, and he remained good friends with some of my good friends. And his wife was the first grade teacher for both of our daughters. Yeah, when they were in first grade in Christian school, Jen and then Meg, she was their teacher. And I believe all their kids have become lawyers or on the way to being lawyers. And this dear brother, 14 days on a respirator, I believe, ventilator, and was seemed to be recovering, and then we lost him. But he's one of several that we know. Again, just our own circles, just sharing experiences, maybe New York being different. But may God be with those who are grieving. And every day there's grief and pain because there's death by the minute around the world. May God show himself strong to those who cry out to him and look to him. Jay in Idaho, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
And thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
So I wanted to answer a few of your questions with some comments. I'm going to try and make this as short-winded as I can, but and I want to also preface this by saying I do not believe that you or the overwhelming majority of people reporting on this are being dishonest. So if I sound like that's what I'm saying, that's not what I'm saying. I just want to make that very clear.
Thank you.
I think there's a general lack of information on the flu that certain folk are definitely, certain folk have an agenda to push forward certain narratives as a result of this. But let me just get to the stats. So you asked why do so many people know people who have this disease? And right now, America mm-hmm. has about 54,000 dead from this disease. Brief question, if you wouldn't mind, Dr. Brown, how old are you?
65.
Did you know that 65,000 people in your age group died of the flu in America in 2018?
Yeah, sure. That's commonly known. I estimate between 60 and 80,000 every year. I'm just saying I don't know anybody and in my circles in years and 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 years that died of the flu or anything related to it. Just my own experience.
Well, and certainly, and that is something, there's a verse in the Bible in Job where God asked Job, the rain falls on the, I'm not quoting it directly, but he basically says, why do I make rain fall on the dirt where no one is, right? And to a certain extent,
excuse me, I apologize. You obviously have a bunch of things to share. I'm out of time. If you're able to call back in the next day or two, even if we're off subject, I'll try to bring you on to finish, all right? Because I know you're on hold for a while, and you got some info, but we're out of time. So if you're able to get back through, we'll remember Jay from Idaho. And if we're talking about anything even vaguely related, we'll get you back on to finish your call, all right? Thank you, everyone, for your participation, for standing with us, and in everything – We look to the Lord for wisdom, grace, and hope.